Okay, today's daf is Psachim Daf Ayin Vav. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Ayin Hey Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. Zelig and Evelyn Weinstein in honor of their granddaughter Michal. We thank the Weinsteins again very much for the sponsorship, and they should see continued nachas from all of their children and grandchildren. We are holding on at the Mishnah again on Daf Ayin Hey Amud Beis. Today's daf is one of the most yesodistic dafim in terms of the halachos of yardeya, of kashrus, of transference, of taste from one thing to the other. The entire Amar Aleph pretty much is about the concept of ilo agavar o tasa agavar. When you have two things that mix with each other and one of them is hot, one of them is cold, do we assume the top thing gives overpowers the bottom and is the dominant one, or the bottom one is the dominant one? If ilo agavar, then when hot falls into cold, the upper item heats the lower item and taste transfers in between the two. If tasa agavar, then the lower one is dominant, and when hot falls into cold, the lower item cools the upper one and taste does not transfer between the two. So that is Amud Aleph, and Amud Beis is going to be about cooking two things in the same oven. Recha milsa, recha lav milsa, you're allowed to cook milcha gefleishik, treif, and kosher in the same oven, really at the same time, is the discussion in our Gemara. Our Gemara does not discuss cooking one after the other, which is a whole separate topic, a fascinating topic, why the Gemara does not discuss cooking one after the other. Okay, so let's pick up at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Naga b'charasu shaltana. It all starts by discussing Karban Pesach. If a Karban Pesach touches the cheres of the oven, yiklof es mekoma, we need to peel off the part where it touched, because we assume it got cooked a little bit from contact with the hot oven wall, so it got cooked a little bit from contact with the oven wall, let's leave out the word hot, so we peel off the piece that touched the wall. Nataf meirotva alacheres v'chazelav yitalas mekomo. If gravy dripped on the oven wall and then came back on the korban, we have to remove a little bit of a thicker piece of meat from the place the gravy landed on the animal. We assume that tam went into the heat transferred into the animal a little bit further, not directly from the fire, but from that gravy that was heated by the oven wall. So we need to take a little bit of a thicker piece. Nataf merotvo ala soles yikmots es mekomo. If some gravy dripped on flour, we have to remove a handful of flour, a kemitza, yikmots es mekomo. Now that's part one of the Mishnah. Part two of the Mishnah, sacho b'shemen truma. Let's say you take shemen of truma and you smear some shemen of truma on the Korban Pesach. Se'im chaburz kohanim yochlu. So if it's a chabur of kohanim, they're all allowed to eat truma. So good, they could eat the Korban Pesach as normal, nothing has to be done to adjust it. But im shel Yisrael, if it's a chabura of Yisraelim, so they're not allowed to eat truma, im chayhu yedichenu, so if it is still raw, they can rinse it off. V'im tzliyu, and if it's roasted, yiklof es achitzon, they should peel off the outermost layer to get all the shemen of truma off of it. I guess there's also still part two. Let's say it's not truma, but sachal b'shemen shal meiser sheni. Let's say they smear it with oil of meiser sheni. Now the halacha is meiser sheni, you're allowed to eat. Everyone's allowed to eat meiser sheni in Yerushalayim, and the Korban Pesach also is going to be eaten in Yerushalayim. So it's not an issue of eating it. The issue is going to be doing schora, selling meiser sheni. Someone contributed the oil to the chabura. You have a chabura of 10 people on the Korban Pesach. They probably didn't all each contribute a couple of ounces of oil that they smeared. One guy contributed for all of them. We'll collect from the rest of them later on for their portion. But are you allowed to do that? Can you go collect from them for their portion of the oil? So lo yasenu damim al b'nei chabura. You cannot charge the b'nei chabura for the oil. Shein podin meiser sheni b'Yerushalayim, because you're not allowed to be podin meiser sheni for money in Yerushalayim. We are allowed to be podin meiser sheni, but that has to be done outside of Yerushalayim. The whole reason we're podin meiser sheni is to make it easier to bring Meiser Sheni to Yerushalayim. You can't bring all your whole silo to Yerushalayim, so it's much easier to transfer it onto money, and you'll just bring the money to Yerushalayim. But once the food is already in Yerushalayim, then there's no heter to exchange it for money, then you have to keep the food as is. Good, so that's the Mishnah. Again, the first part of the Mishnah, where the Korban Pesach comes into contact with other sources of heat, which might cause problems on part of the Korban. And then the second part, where you... use oil either of Truma or of Maaser Sheni. So we're only going to get to the first part today. So Itmar, says the Gemara, Cham l'toch cham, divrei hakol aser. If something hot falls into something else hot, regardless of which one was the non-kosher and which one was the kosher, the top one or the bottom one, doesn't make a difference. It's hot and hot, so everyone's going to say that it's aser. Tzonein l'toch tzonein, if you have something cold fall into something else that's cold, divrei hakol mutter, then everyone would hold that there's no taste that transfers from the non-kosher to the kosher, because everything is cold, and therefore everyone would agree that it's mutter. Here's where it gets tricky. Cham l'toch tzonein v'tzonein l'toch cham. What if something hot falls into something cold, or something cold falls into something hot? Which one do we assume is the dominant one that's going to be able if hot is going to be able to transfer tam to the other one? Rav amar ila agavar. Rav says the upper one is the dominant one. So when something hot falls on something cold, there's a transference of tam between the two of them. But if something cold were to fall on something hot, then we would assume that the cold upper one will just cool down the bottom one, and there will not be a transference of tam. But Shmuel amar tasa agavar. Shmuel holds whatever is on the bottom is the dominant one. It sounds like a machlokas in physics. That whatever's on the bottom is the more dominant one, and therefore when something cold falls on something hot, it's going to cause a transference of tam, and if one of those things is not kosher, neither are kosher, and if the one on the bottom is cold, then there's no transference of tam, and even if one of those things is not kosher, the one that started out kosher is still kosher. So that's machlokas tasa gavar or ila gavar. The Gemara is going to proceed to bring three rayos from our Mishnah, which shita is correct. Well, all three rayos go in the same direction. All three rayos are going to be against Shmuel. All three rayos are for Rav, that ila agavar, not tasa agavar, from our Mishnah, but then we're going to have two brisas, not from Mishnah, two brisas that support Shmuel. So that's pretty much the rest of Amud Aleph. Three rayas against Shmuel from our Mishnah, and then two brisas that support Shmuel. There's a fairly fundamental question that the Nadav Yehuda raises in a tshuva in Madura Kama Simul Chav Ches. He says, well, in general, if we're not sure if time transfers from one thing to another, there is a concept that the Gemara uses, that Rishonim certainly use, that and it appears on the pages in Shulchan Aruch, of Ti'imas Kfela, that we assume that there are certain experts who know how to taste things very well, and if there's any hint of a taste of something in there, they'll be able to detect it. So if you have milk that mixed into your chicken soup, you're able to go to a Kfela Arma'a. I'm not speaking of halacha now, I'm saying hypothetically, you'd be able to go to a Kfela Arma'a, to a non-Jewish taster, a non-Jewish cook or food critic, and have him taste the soup, and he'll be able to say, oh, this soup is very good, but it's not quite as good as mine because I have milk in mine. So then you know that there's no tam of milk in it if he's able to say something along those lines. So Frektano de Behuda, what's a machlokas tasa gavar, ila gavar? Why don't we test it out? Go to Kfela Arma and have someone taste it. Have him taste whether it's tasa gavar or ila gavar. So says Nod Behuda that the machlokas, it might be by min bemina, where you can't go to a Kfela because they both taste the same. You have two pieces of the same cut of steak. One comes from a cow that was an avela, and one came from a cow that was a shchuta. So they have exactly the same tam. So that's not going to help you to go to a kfeil arma. The Aruch HaShulchan says differently. The Aruch HaShulchan has an interesting chiddush. He said, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that the entire ne'emanus of a kfeila is only when there's a vaday iser based on the Kabbalah's Chachamim, and we're just not sure whether the iser gave tam into the heter. But when there's no iser l'fi'a Kabbalah, the kfeila is not believed to say that there is an iser. L'mashal, he says, let's say there was a kli shlishi, that there was tam that was transferred only through the heat of a kli shlishi. So the halacha is that there's no tam that's transferred in a kli shlishi. It doesn't have the ability. It's not the heat is not intense enough to transfer tam in a kli shlishi. So can a kfeila come and say, no, I can detect it. I can tell that it's there, and therefore create an iser? No, we tell him to take a hike. There's absolutely nothing he can say that's going to change the halacha. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, over here, if let's say, l'mashal, the bottom one is cold, we're not going to listen to the kfeila to say that there's tam of iser, because we paskin tasa gavar. So if tasa gavar, then the bottom one that's cold is going to be the more dominant one. So that's why it's not such a simple matter to just go to a kfeila, because it's an issue of what our halachic kabbalah is over here. Okay, so so says the Gemara Vayta. Let's bring Rayas now. So tonight we have a Mishnah that says as follows: Not of mirot v'alacheres. Our Mishnah says that if some of the gravy goes onto the cheres of the oven, the chazar alav, and then it goes back onto the carbon, yitolas mekomo. You need to remove a portion, that portion of the carbon where the gravy came back onto. So kachsal kadaitoch becheres tzonenes. We're assuming right now that the cheres that it went on to was cold cheres, that it was a cold piece of pottery. So Bishlam l'Rav Damari la agavar, according to Rav that says that the upper thing gets the upper hand, mishum hachi yitolas mekomo, that's why it's going to negatively affect the carbon. The Azal wrote of Merateich le cheres, because what happened was hot gravy came from on top, landed on the cheres, and therefore it heated up the cheres, because ila agavar, the top one is the dominant one. Vahadar cheres merateich le rotav, then the cheres, which has now become heated by the gravy, heats the rotav, which means that there's total transference from one to the other. V'chihada rotav ha-pesach, v'kamatvi pesach machmas chaymusa d'cheres. So when the rotav, when the sauce goes back, the gravy goes back onto the carbon pesach, it is carrying with it the heat of the cheres. And therefore, when it cooks the carbon, it's cooking the carbon with the heat of the cheres on that spot where it lands. V'rachman amr tzliyesh, blotzli machmas over acher. But we know carbon pesach has to be roasted only by fire, not by any other source of heat, including the cheres. So elul Shmuel damar tasag gavar. So that makes sense if you hold like Rav. But according to Shmuel, that the lower item is the more dominant one. Cheres, yeah, I'm not going to use the term upper hand. That's going to get confusing. The lower item is the more dominant of the two. So then cheres kivan ditzoninhu akuri mekel lerotev. Then the cheres, if it's cool, as soon as the sauce hits it, will cool off the sauce, amayitolos makoma, and therefore that gravy won't be able to do anything because it's all cooled off. It should lack any potency to be able to give any time or any heat to the carbon. So why would you have to be yitolos makoma? So says Mark, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Shmuel, besolos rotachas, achanami becheres rotach. Just like we're going to make a nukimta later on, that the flour that the Mishnah was talking about was hot flour, so the Mishnah may have been talking about a hot piece of cheres, and that's why there's a transference of time. The cheres, which is the tasa'a, was hot. So, of course, there's the heat will transfer from the cheres onto the rotav. So that raya is rejected. Second raya, tanan, also from our Mishnah. Not of merot v'ala soldas, yikmotzes mekomo. If some of the gravy goes onto flour, so you take a kmitza of the flour, you take a handful of flour away. So kasal kadaituk v'sol tzonenes. We assume that we're talking about cold flour. Bishlam l'rav damri la gavar. So according to Rav, that the upper one is the dominant one. Mishum hachi yikmotzes mekomo makes a lot of sense that you need to take a handful of flour out. Demeratach lo l'soldas, because the gravy is going to heat up the flour. Dahadar adarniv and then the flour will turn around and heat up the gravy. The heat of the flour is going to cook or roast or heat the gravy. And the Torah says that the Karban Pesach has to be entirely roasted by fire alone and not by anything else. So according to Rav, I understand the concern that we need to remove it. El Shmuel Damar Tasagavar, but according to Shmuel, that the lower item gets is the more dominant one. Solas kivintet sonenasi akurika mekarle. Well, then the flour, since it's cold, the flour that's on the bottom is cold, so it should cool down the gravy that comes onto it. So lamali yikmotzas makomo. Why would you need to take a kmitza out of the flour? Answers the Gemara again. Amar Rav Yirmiyahu Shmuel b'solas rotachas. Now we're talking about hot flour, and therefore it's hot on hot. Everyone agrees that there is a transference of heat from one to the other. Tanan, third raya, also from our Mishnah. Sacha b'shemen shel truma, if you smear it with truma oil, im chaburas kohanim yochlu, if it's a chabur of kohanim that are eating that carbon, great, let them eat it, they're allowed to eat truma, it's no problem. Im shel Yisrael, but if it's chabura of non-kohanim, im chai hu yadichenu. So if it's raw, they should rinse it off. Im tzlihu yiklof esachiton. If it's roasted, then they should peel off the outermost surface. So bishlam ala Rav. According to Rav, this makes sense. Damri lo gavar, that the upper item is the more dominant one. Amtu lahachi sagile beklipa mishum di la tzoninhu. That's why it's enough to just peel off the outermost layer, because the top one is cold. So just peel off whatever mamashos is there. The outermost layer will take off whatever mamashos, whatever actual substance is there. And everything else is fine. There is nothing penetrated beyond the outermost surface. El Shmuel Damar Tasagavar, but according to Shmuel, that the bottom one is the dominant one. Kima dechamu mivlabala. Well, the Karban Pesach itself is cham. It's hot. So it's going to be balea from the truma oil that you put on it, and it's going to go all the way into the carbon. Amai sagile beklipa nitzer legamri. Why is it good enough to just peel off the outermost surface? The whole thing should be asr. So says Gemara, shiny sicha, demashu bialma hu davida. Now, your sicha is different, because all they're doing is they're putting a little tiny bit of oil on the outer surface of the carbon, so it's not enough to really penetrate all the way through. This is the Aruch HaShulchan. This relates very much to the Aruch HaShulchan's point. The Aruch HaShulchan and Simit Sadi Aleph asks, how can we have a klal about this din of Tasa Gavar? That if is that always going to be true? Let's say you have a lot of chalav roteach, of boiling hot milk, that falls on a little piece of cold meat. So you got to say Tasa Gavar, and the meat cools down all that boiling hot milk. It's very tamua to say such a thing. It doesn't seem to conform to the metzius. It really should really depend on how much you have of each item. V'chein lehepach, he says, you have a lot of chalav tzonin on a little bit of basar oseach, a little bit of hot meat. How can you say tasa gavar and it's going to aser when there's no shishim? We see that the chalav tzonin legamri, that the meat had no effect whatsoever on the milk. Adarabba, the meat was cooled down by the milk. So he says it's barley naim when we have that. It all depends on that when as soon as you have four or five times the amount of something, as soon as the ratio is four or five times, so the davra meruba is going to have more of an effect on the smaller item than vice versa. Always, it's a baduku menusa. He says there's no way that you're ever going to avoid that. So what's this whole discussion? Tasa gavar, ila gavar. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that the whole din of tasa gavar is only when the elyon and the tachton are shoven bekamus. They have the same amount. That the same amount of milk as meat, etc. So that's where the machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, when the kamus is the same, which echus wins out? Is it the tasa or the ilah? So the echus, and we paskin that tasa govern the echus, the quality of the lower one, the heat of the lower one is more impactful than the heat from above. And his raya is from the Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara says, Nosin adam chamin l'toch hatzonein, v'lo hatzonein l'toch hachamin. When talking about Bishul b'Shabbos, the Gemara says that you could put hot into cold, but not cold into hot. And Rashi over there says, because tasa agavar. So Tos says, so isn't that a raya against the shita of ilo agavar? And also, even if you say tasa agavar, it's at least mevashal k'dei klipa. So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam says, Nosin adam chamin l'toch tzonein, that's when it's tzonein meruba. And ein adam nosin tzonin l'tol chamin, that's when it's chamin merubim. So it's not shaykh at all to tasa gavar. So what do you see from Rabbeinu Tam? That even though you normally have a din of tasa gavar, just change the ratios, change the quantities, and then tasa gavar goes away. So that's the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, and says the Aruch HaShulchan, that's the halacha, that if one is if the kamus is so overwhelming, then we would not apply the entire concept of tasa gavar or ila gavar. Okay, so far we had three rais against Shmuel, but we rejected all the rais. Now we bring two brises that support him. Tanya Kavase de Shmuel. First wide line. We have a brise that supports Shmuel. Cham l'toch cham aser. Hot falls into hot, that's aser. No big chiddush there. V'chein sonei shenosin l'toch cham Usr. Something cold goes into something hot, it's going to be Usr. The bottom one is going to be the dominant one. Cham l'toch tzonin, v'tzonin l'toch tzonin, madiach. But if something hot goes into something cold, or something cold goes into something cold, those are in the same category, because we assume that the cold bottom one is going to be dominant. So all you need to do is rinse it off. So cham l'toch tzonin, madiach. The reason why when something hot goes into something cold, you rinse it off. Kiven dechamu, since it's hot, at the maker le'yev shadil abala porta. The reason you need to even rinse it off is because by the time it cooled down, there had to be a little bit of a blia. There had to be a little bit of transference, at least on the very surface level. So klipa mi an mi bayi. But if that's the case, then it shouldn't be enough to rinse it off. If there's actual rinsing off, takes away any mamashos from the surface. But if there's any transference of tam, if there's any taste that went into it, you need more than rinsing. You need to cut off the outermost layer. How's it good enough to rinse it off? Se ela ema cham l'toch tzonin kolef tzonin l'toch tzonin madiach. So we need to adjust our halacha and say the halacha really is that if it goes hot into cold, yitaka do need to peel off the outermost layer, but if it's cold into cold, then there's no transference of time, it's just an issue of mamashos, so then you would only need to rinse off the outermost layer, but would not need to peel off anything. Tanya Idach, we have another brisa that supports Shmuel. Basar roteach shenafal l'toch chalav roteach. Hot meat falls into hot milk. V'chein tzonin shenafal l'toch cham. Cold meat into hot milk. Aser, it's aser. Cham l'toch tzonin, v'tzonin l'toch tzonin, madiach. But if it's hot into cold, or cold into cold, then you rinse it off, it's not aser. So cham l'toch tzonin madiach, kivin d'chamu ademek alei yefshad l'obal l'porta, the same kasha we asked before. Wait a second, even if you want to say that tasa gavar, but when hot falls into something cold, you require rinsing it off because you're assuming that there's some minor transference of time, at least at the very surface level. Well, if that's the case, then rinsing shouldn't be enough. You should have to peel off the outermost layer. Ela ema. So again, we adjust this price as well. Cham l'toch tzonin kolef, tzonin l'toch tzonin mediach. If something hot falls into something cold, you do need to peel off the outermost surface. Something cold falls into something cold, mediach. Then you don't need to peel anything off. You only need to rinse it off. Now, so it's very clear, the Maskanos HaGemara, that according to Shmuel, who holds Tasal Gavar, that the bottom is dominant, when something hot goes into something cold, yes, it's Tasal Gavar, and therefore there is not a full transference of tam from one to the other, but on some quick level, there is some minor transference of tam, at least on a surface level. Ef Shadlo Bala Porta, right? That's very clear. So the Isser V'Heter and Klal Lamedalid writes that let's say you have a kli that you constantly pour onto the kli. The kli is cold, but you're constantly putting hot things on top of the kli. So do we continually say that tasal gavar, that the bottom one is dominant, and therefore there's not going to be any transference of tam, and the kli is going to be perfectly okay? So he says, no, you see that by the time it cools down, there's got to be a little bit of a blia that transfers into the kli. So that's with one time. If you do it over and over again, so then it's balea bekulo. Then the whole thing is going to be is going to have treifa tam in it. So the Bach and the Taz both say like this la'alacha, that the whole idea of tasa gavar, we may paskin that way, but that's only when it's a one-time event. But if it continually happens over and over again, so there is an impact that it's going to have that's much greater than just a demekale iyafshadolobala porta. There's a cumulative effect. In Tuv Tam V'Das, Shlomo Kluger writes that we should be machmer like this, but not b'makom hefsim ruba. When it's makom hefsim ruba, we should be maker like the most poskim seem to assume, that any iroy only asers k'dei klipa, doesn't aser anything beyond k'dei klipa. However, how to understand the chumrah of the Yisr V'Heter is a machlokas achronim in the first place. How soon after does another pouring have to be done in order to have this cumulative effect? The Prima Gadim and the Chavis Das write that he means that as long as the second second pouring was done within 24 hours, where the first blia was still nosing tam l'shvach, after 24 hours, we assume anything that's balua in a kli, any tam that's just absorbed in a kli, loses its positive taste, and therefore is no longer going to aser. So it can have a cumulative effect when you're combining something that you pour in right now with something that you poured in more than 24 hours ago. So this vata must be talking about where multiple things get poured in within 24 hours of each other. Tuftam Vidas understood that the Yisra Vahetar is talking about, no, even less than 24 hours still wouldn't be a problem. He would only be machmir when the kli is still hot from the first irui. So it's mamish, one right after the other. Only then does it have a cumulative effect. Okay, says the Gemara further now, Amr Mar. So we had said before, Tzonei L'tzok Tzonei Madiach. Something cold falls into something cold, just rinse it off. So Amr Avunu L'shanu L'shalom Molcho. That's only if it wasn't salted. Avon Molcho Aser, but if it was salted, it's Aser. Damo Shmuel, Meliach Hareyuk HaRaseach, Kavash Hareyuk HaMavushal. Anything that's salted is like it's boiling, and anything that's soaked, it's like it's cooked. When you soak something with something else for 24 hours, we assume 24 hours machlok shishon. Then we assume that it's even though it's totally cold, we assume that it has a din of being cooked. Rashi's shita that kavush kumavushal is only if you pickle it, if you soak it in vinegar. But to stam soak something in water would not cause that effect of kavush kumavushal. The Rush in Maseches Avodah Zarah holds no. Any sort of liquid, even mayim, even water, could affect kavush kumavushal. So this is a machlokas rishonim, Shulchan Aruch and Yardeas and Kofei paskins like the Rush, that a machal of iser that was kavush with a machal of heter for 24 hours, the din of the heter is as if it was cooked together with the iser, even though everything was cold, because after kavisha for 24 hours, it's as if it was cooked together, it has a full transference of tam. Amar Rava, Hadamar Shmuel Meliach Harei Kroseach, that which Shmuel says, that salting something is the same as boiling it, Lo Amar Nele Shelo Nechel Machmas Molcho, Aval Nechel Machmas Molcho Lo, but that's only if it's so salted that it's inedible because of the heavy salting. But if it's still edible, then you wouldn't say Meliach is Kroseach. Ha'ubar goes the Danafel Akada de Kamcha, there was a bird that fell into a jug of kamcha. Rashi says kamcha is kutach, it's a milchig type of dip. So a bird is fleshig, fell into this milchig dip. Sharya Rav Chinna Breid Ravim Mi Pashrunya. Rav Chinna Breid Ravim Mi Pashrunya permitted it. Amar Rava, man chacham lemishra milsa kiha, ilav Rav Chinna Breid Ravim Mi Pashrunya, degavar abuhu. Says, I never would have believed that anyone has the ability to say something is mutter, something like this is mutter. You took a bird and you mixed it with milk, and that's pretty bad. How did he have the koach? He's such a gavar rabba that he could be making on such a thing. Amalach kiyamer Shmuel, so he'd explain himself that no, it works like this. When does Shmuel say Meliach Hareu Kuroseach, She'ein Nechel Machmas Molcho? That's if the salting is so heavy that it's inedible because of the salting. Hai Nechel Machmas Molcho, this is not considered Maluach because the salting is not so heavy. Mahani Mili Chai, Aval Tzli Bayi Klipa. But that's only, that kula is only if it's still chai. But once it's roasted, then you need to peel off the outermost surface. V'larmanel delespe pili. That's also if there are no holes, striations in the meat. Avalispe pili, if there are cracks in it, aser, then it's going to be aser. V'metuvel betavli aser. Also, if it's if the bird were spiced up really good, so then it would be aser. We'd assume that it has the ability to be balea the kutach. Now, there is a... there is a discussion in the Rishonim and Achronim. Let's say going back on this din of kavush kumavushal. So how far do we take that halacha of kavush kumavushal? Whenever you say ki, is ki mamish ki that it's exactly the same as cooking, or in some way it approximates mavushal, but it's not exactly mavushal. The Torah Chatas writes that if you have a piece of meat that was not salted, that was kavush in mayim, in water for 24 hours, it's like a piece of meat that was cooked before it was salted, and therefore it's aser. Meat needs to be salted in order to draw out the blood. If you cook the meat before it's salted, so then we assume the blood is takes hold in there, and it's going to be aser. But if it was in 60 times the water, keneged kolachaticha, if you have 60 times the water versus the meat, whereby bishul we would be machmir not to eat the chaticha, even with shishim, he says, yeah, but by kavush kumavushal we could be makel. Kavush is not the same. If it's kavush in 60 times, then we could rely on bittul, that it's mamish, that it's not 100% mamish the same. In many other acharonim, Marshal and others disagree. Kavush kimavushal means kimavushal. The Avnei Nezer writes in a tshuva that that even according to the Shita Samordechai, who normally takes kavush kimavushal very seriously, that it's the Mordechai holds, writes in the Imra Ben Tam, that it has to be for 3 days to be kavush kimavushal, that only after 3 days it's actually going to be able to join together. But then the Mordechai disagrees with the Rabbeinu Tam. He says enough in a Mishnah in Shavuos, not that. I'm sorry. And then he quotes B'Shem Rashi that the din of Mavushal is only when it's vinegar. But then he says no, it's enough in a Mishnah in Shavuos that the din of Kavish Kamavushal applies even by oil. It doesn't have to dafka be vinegar, so it could even be by other liquids. So the Avnei Nezer writes that even according to the Mordechai, who disagrees with Rashi and holds that Kavish Kamavushal applies to other liquids and not only with the Davar Charif, and he has this Raya from the Mishnah in Shavuos. The Mishnah talks about a vered that's kavush and shemen of shviyas, that the shemen is considered like it's cooked together, but he says that's only, nevertheless, he says the kavush kumavushal is only by something that has its own tam, like shemen or something like that, or something that has the ability to change the quality of something, of that which it's kavush in for 24 hours and to affect it like cooking. But when it's kavush in mayim alone, it's not going to have a din of mavushal. That which the post say that kavush me'es le'es in mayim is aser, what that means is that when you soak something in 24 hours in water, it has the ability to expel some of its quality, some of its tam, but not that it's completely like it's cooked in the water. It's not kimvushal mamish, and therefore he says if you have matzah maror cooked in water, the reason why we're machmir, not that you can't be yotzei, is because since it was kavush in mayim, it's polate the tam of matzah maror. It loses the tam of matzah maror. It's not that there's this full transference. It just has the ability to draw out some of that tam. He says the same is true by an esrog that's kavush for 24 hours. The problem is that it loses some of its tam, so it's considered nishtana. It's considered to have been a changed esrog once it loses its tam. Okay, says the Gemara, further now we're on the bottom line. Amar Rav, last words on page Amar Rav. Basar shchuta, shamin, shetzalu, and basar nevela, kachush, asr. If you have fatty, shechted meat that you cook, that you roast together with non-fatty treif meat, non-kosher meat, nevela meat, so it's going to be asr. We assume the nevela meat has the ability to transfer tam through roasting together. There's a new topic now. We're not talking about ilag over to sag over. We're talking about just being in the same oven at the same time. By roasting them together, it has the ability to transfer the tam from one to the other. My taima, mefat mi me'adadi, they're fattened from each other. V'levi amar, Levi says, no, afilu basr shkuta kachu, shatzalu and basr nevela shamein, mutter. In Levi's kitchen, you could have, or in Levi's restaurant that he gives hashkacha to, you could have a pig roasting in the oven, and at the same time have your kosher meat roasting in the oven, and it's totally mutter. My taima, recha bi'almahu. It's just recha. They're not actually touching each other. It's just the aroma that goes from one to the other. So your cat will smell like a pig a little bit when you're eating it, but it's just aroma that goes from one to the other. But recha lav milsihi. Recha is totally insignificant. So this is a machlokas, Rav and Levi. Is Recha Milsa or is Recha Lav Milsa? Levi thinks it's totally insignificant. Ava Levi Uvda Beresh Kalusa Begdiv Davar Acher. Levi actually passing this way, I wasn't being dramatic when I was saying a pig. Levi had a pig by the Resh Kalusa. There was a pig cooking in the same oven with a goat. It wasn't a cat, it was a goat. A pig cooking in the same oven with a goat, and he said, yeah, that's totally fine. Mesve Ein Sol Shnei Pesachim Ke'echad Mipnei Atar Roves. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, you're not allowed to roast two Karbonos Pesach together because they're mixed together. My lav tarov is tam v'kasha levi. What does it mean it mixes together? Doesn't it mean that there's tam that's transferred from one to the other? Even though they're not touching each other, they just happen to be in the same oven? So isn't that a raya against Levi? Lo, mipnei tarov is goofin. Levi says, no, the concern is you can't have two Karbonos Pesach roasting together because you might take the wrong one. You might mix up the two Karbonos, but not that they're going to transfer tam to each other. Hachinam mistavra, midiktari seif, and you got to say that it's talking about the concern that you might take the wrong one. because the Sefer goes on to say, afilu gedi utla, that even if they're two slightly different kinds of animals, even one is a goat, one is a sheep, you have to worry about this. If we're concerned you're going to take the wrong one, so I understand that it's a, that there, that it has to emphasize, even though they're two different kinds of animals. Keep in mind, they're not they're dead already. They're roasting. They're already skinned, so it's not as easy to tell. So it's gedi utla. So I understand very well that it has to emphasize that chiddush. Eliam reta rovas tamin. But if it's about transference of taste from one to the other, so you just can't have someone else's karm pesach give tamin to yours. Mali gedi utla, mali gedi ugedi. So what difference does it make if it's a gedi utla or gedi ugedi? Why is this the sefer any greater chiddush than the reisha? Elamai al karchum reta tarovas gufin huda aser alv tarovas tamin shari. Oh, so now it's muchach the other way. Now you see from this brisa that it's only it's only a concern that you're going to mix up the animals with each other, but the actual tam transferring from one to the other, that obviously doesn't bother us. So now we turn it around and it's a kasha on Rav. Now the case over here is Rav is not worried about tam transferring because you made these two Karbanos Pesach in two different pots. Says Gemara, you're making Karban Pesach in a pot, then you got bigger problems. You're not allowed to make Karban Pesach in a pot. It's got to be roasted on a fire. Ela'ema ke'ein shtei kederos. No, it means that you separate them enough that it's ki'ilu they're in two separate pots. Meaning, you put them in a way that they can't, the tam can't transfer from one to the other. V'achikamer, ein sol shnei pesachim ke'echon ne'taroves. And this is what it means to say. You're not allowed to have two Karban Pesach roasting together because they'll get mixed up. My taroves, what do you mean mixed up? Taroves tamim. Really? Means taste will transfer from one to the other, and that will be a problem. But even if you have them very separated from each other, where there's not going to be any taste that transfers from one to the other, still going to be aser mishum tarovas gufin, because you still have the concern that you might take the wrong animal. And not only that, even the two different types of animals, you still have to be concerned you might take the wrong one. Amr of Mari Kitanoi. This machlokas, whether Recha Milsa, Recha Lav Milsa is in fact a machlokas Tanoim. Haroda Pascham of Nasan al Pi Chavis Yayin Shel Truma. Let's say you take hot bread out of an oven and you put it directly on top of a barrel of Truma wine. Rameir Oser. Rameir says it's going to aser the bread. Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Rabbi Yehuda says the bread is mutter. Rabbi Yossi Matir B'shel Chitin V'Oser B'shel Sa'orim Nesha Sa'orim Shoavos. Rabbi Yossi says, well, if it's wheat bread, it's mutter, but if it's barley bread, it's also because barley bread draws the tam of the yayin much stronger, and therefore will draw in the tam of truma yayin. So my lav tanaihi, isn't this exactly the machlokas? Demar sava recha lav milsihi. Rameir must be holding recha's lav milsa, and therefore the bread is mutter. Umar sava recha milsi. Rabbi Yehuda holds recha is milsa, and therefore the other way around, right? That whoever holds recha lav milsa would say that the bread is mutzer, that's Rabbi Yehuda, and Rameir would say Recha Milsa, and that's why the bread is aser. So says Gemara, the Levi vaday tanaihi. Levi would have no choice but to tell you that it's a machlokas tanaim. La Rav neima tanaihi. Should we say that even according to Rav it's a machlokas tanaim? So Amalach Rav dekuli alma Recha Milsi. Rav would say no. Everyone agrees really Recha Milsa. Lavit maralo dahi. Amar Rav Barbachan Amar Reish Lakish bepas chama v'chavis pschucha divrei kol aser. We have to look at what's the story with the bread and what's the story with the barrel of wine. If it's hot bread and the barrel of wine is wide open and you put the bread on top of the wine, no one's going to argue. Everyone's going to say that's aser. If the bread is cold and the barrel is closed, everyone's going to say that it's mutter. If it's one or the other, either the bread is hot or the barrel, either the bread is cold or the barrel is closed, and one or the other. So that's where they have machlokas. V'hanami kepaschama v'chavis psucha dami. In our case, is like paschama v'chavis psucha. It's like hot bread on an open barrel, which everyone would say is going to be mutter. So Rav would say, all tanaim agree, taste can transfer through aroma. Recha is milsa. The whole machlokas in that case was bread that either bread that's cold or a barrel barrel that is sealed. But otherwise, taste would transfer through aroma. Recha is milsa, according to Rav. Tani Rav Kana Brei Rav China Saba, Pasha Afayim Tzli B'tanur, Asa Lachla B'kudcha. If you bake bread in an oven with meat, you're not allowed to eat that bread with milchigs. You can't butter that bread. Hayibi Nisa Di'itva Ba'adi Bisra, Asa Ravim Parzika L'michla B'kudcha. There was a fish that they cooked together with meat, and he said that you're not allowed to eat the fish together with kutach, together with melechik. Marbar, because fish is part of worship. So marbar avashi amar, afilu bimilcha nami asura, mishum dekasha l'rechel davarach. He said, forget about that. You're not allowed to eat fish that was roasted with meat, because it's going to be a sakana. It's a kasha l'rechel, it's kasha l'davarach. So a couple of quick things. Oh, this is such a major subject. First of all, rechel milsa, rechel av milsa. How do we paskin? So we paskin me'ikra adin, it's machlokes rishonim. Rashi over here, Rashi paskins, one of the rare cases, Rashi actually paskins. So Rashi paskins halachas like Levi, Recha is lav milsa. Why does he paskin like Levi? Because he says it's really machlokas and avodah zarah samach vavim beis, Abaye and Rava, whether we paskin like Levi or not, and we paskin like Rava, hilchsa k'Rava, except for the Al-Kigam, this isn't one of the Al-Kigam, and since Rava paskins like Levi, so we paskin like Levi. That's how the Rabban paskins, that's how the Ravid paskins, that's how the Ramban, the Rashba, all paskin. Tosfos, quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, the Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rosh, Tosus Rid, all paskin like Rav, that Recha is Milsa. The Rif has a compromise shita. He says that is the difference between Lechadchila and Bidyevid, whether Recha Milsa or Recha Lav Milsa. Shulchan Aruch and Yardeasim Kuv Ches, paskins Recha Lav Milsa, Bidyevid. But lechadchila, you're not allowed to create it, you're not allowed to cook treifa and kosher in the same oven, milchig and fleishig in the same oven at the same time. The million-dollar question is, how come the Gemara doesn't discuss cooking one after the other? Is there even a problem of cooking one after the other? So it doesn't say anything in the Gemara about cooking one after the other. So how you answer that question, there's a Mishnah Mikvaos that implies that even one after the other is a concept called Zeya that's going to be a problem. How you answer the question of why the Gemara is not concerned about that will determine what you hold about cooking, milking, and fleshing in the same oven. Many different approaches to that. Fish and meat, maybe we'll discuss a little bit tomorrow.